Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is late winter, 1968. Roscosmos, Baikonur Cosmodrome. The launch of a vehicle called Zond 4. Zond 4, 2 March 1968. The idea was to prep a moon landing. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He's the author of Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. Bob, a very good evening to you. Roscosmos, the Soviet program, and NASA, the American program, were in a moon race. At this point, both had recovered from catastrophes, and they were preparing for their march to moon landing. What was Zond 4? What was the Zond series that so fascinated, worried, and made NASA hurry up its plans? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. It was a moon race. It was a neck-and-neck moon race in many ways. What the Russian Soviets were doing was they had gotten into orbit and successfully started to use manned their Soyuz capsule, the very first iteration of it. And what they did with the Zond program was they revised it so that it would be sent on a circumlunar mission around the moon and back to Earth. It would not go into orbit around the moon, but it would circle around, it would zoom around the moon, and the moon's gravity would slingshot it back to Earth. And then it would come back to Earth, and then it would hit the atmosphere, bounce off the atmosphere, and come down and land safely. And the idea was to put two astronauts on this and get to around the moon before we could get to the moon. And that would win the space race. They wouldn't land, but they'd gotten people to the moon and back, and they'd beat us. But they needed to test it before they put people on it. And so Zond 4 was the first attempt, and that failed and had problems. So they had they actually hit the self-destruct button when it was coming back to Earth, because it was going to land in areas where they thought we would recover it, and the Soviet Union didn't want us to get it. So they destroyed it. And then in September of 68, they launched Zond 5. And Zond 5 went around the moon. And it had, by the way, like turtles and insects, various small forms of life on it to test the life support system. It went around the Earth. It went around the moon and then came back to Earth. And its guidance system failed, so that even though it did splash down successfully, it did a ballistic reentry, which would have injured and maybe even killed any astronauts on board. And so that test, they weren't ready to launch people on it. So they repeated this in November. They did Zond 6. And this mission took pictures. It took an actual Earthrise picture. It went around the moon, zips back to Earth. It successfully skipped on the atmosphere and landed, splashed down. But it lost its atmosphere on the way, which would have killed any animals, which killed the life that was aboard it. And so because of that failure, all right, that's the Zond program.
We'll stop here now, because watching all this is NASA, and you feature three important personalities: George Lowe, who is manager of the Apollo program, Sam Phillips, the director of the Apollo program, and James Webb, the boss, the big boss of NASA. You write that George Lowe returns from a Caribbean vacation and looks at the chart that they've laid out for the Apollo program, starting with Apollo 5 and going all the way to the landing on the moon. George Lowe makes a decision. What is it, Bob?
Here's the problem. They had set up this sequence of missions with Apollo where first they would launch Apollo, they'd do some unmanned tests, and then they'd launch a manned mission using a smaller rocket to see if the Apollo capsule worked. And then they would test the lunar module in Earth orbit, And then they would test it in high Earth orbit, and then they would test it in lunar orbit, and then they would go land on the moon. This sequence of missions had one rule, that no mission would leave Earth orbit without the lunar module, because they treated the lunar module as a lifeboat. And so the sequence was Earth orbit testing the capsule, a second mission to test the lunar module in Earth orbit. Then they do a high Earth orbit, very high, but still in Earth orbit. But they have the lunar module. And then they go to the moon and go around the moon, test the lunar module. In the summer of 1968, the lunar module was behind schedule. The plan had been that Apollo 7 would be a manned mission going around the Earth for 10 days with a smaller rocket, not the Saturn V. Apollo 8 was supposed to be the first one to test the lunar module in Earth orbit, but it wasn't ready. It wasn't going to be ready. And George Lowe looked at saw the Zond program developing by the Soviets, and considered the idea of maybe instead of he could just have sent Apollo 8 to repeat what Apollo 7 did, go around the Earth for 2 weeks. But that seemed like a waste of a mission. They wouldn't really learn anything. He considered the idea of sending Apollo 8 to the moon. He thought about it over the summer. He did not make a decision, but he then discussed it with Sam Phillips. And they both said, well, it might be something to consider, because we need to do something with Apollo 8, and we won't have the lunar module. Can we do it? Is it safe to do it? Will it be worth doing? They realized it would absolutely be worth doing. They'd be testing the avionics, the software, the design, the service module engines, everything that would need it to land on the moon, except landing.
And they take it to James Webb. Now, at this point, I want to know the decision-making at NASA. Who is?
Yeah, well, it's very important. I'm getting to that. It's very important because Webb was not part of James Webb, the head of NASA, the big boss, was not involved in any of the discussion. NASA at that time really delegated authority down to the people who were doing the work. And in this case, the managers had to make decisions about the overall mission. Lowe spoke to the software people, and they said they could make it work. This is Chris Kraft, head of the mission control. He spoke to Wernher von Braun, who said, yes, we can make this work. Saturn V will be ready to do this. And so Lowe and Phillips made the decision that they should do this. And they made this decision not in the summer, but in the fall, after the additional Zond missions. And when they made the decision, we're going to send Apollo 8 to the moon, that's when they called James Webb and told him what the decision was. And what Lowe said was, he almost took my ear off on the phone. But Webb didn't countermand the decision. He said, well, if that's what you think you can do, let's do it. And so they proceeded to go ahead and decide to send Apollo 8 to the moon.
More mysteries, Bob. Webb is thinking of resigning, leaving. He's been there for 8 and accepts it. So there'll be a new boss at NASA momentarily, Thomas Paine. What we're looking at now is decisions made in NASA from different departments, and none of them at this point look to me to be careful decisions. They look to me to be aggressive decisions because of the Soviets, is my question. Were they keeping an eye on Roscosmos? Because you mentioned that the CIA gave them information that the Russians are ready to do something first.
Yes, they were aware of what the Russians did, but so that's one of the reasons they decided. That's one of the reasons they decided to take a gamble with Apollo 8. They had to keep moving. They knew that a lunar orbit mission, not landing, would still be considered in many ways a victory, the winning of the space race. And what they also heard from the CIA was that the Zond missions were with a Soyuz capsule, and they were test missions to sending two astronauts, cosmonauts, to the moon.
Right.
And the orbital mechanics said that the Russians could do this in early December. Our orbital mechanics meant we had to go late in December, but the orbital mechanics in Russia for a circumlunar mission, not an orbital mission, said they could launch. Rush's decision, they did review the data carefully and decided it was worth the risk. The engineering was sound enough to go ahead. They made a decision. They made a decision to take the risk to win the space race, to say the U.S. could do it better.
The book is Genesis, the story of Apollo, the first manned flight to another world. Bob Zimmerman is the author. When we come back, Catastrophe, 1967. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.